Welcome. This is Dr. Stacy. Welcome to the Mindful World Summit. And I'm excited to be joined today by Dr. Nima Ramani. Dr. Nima is a chiropractor and a coach who is concentrating his practice on helping people transform from the inside out. He is here today to share with us his ways, his many approaches to addressing anxiety. Dr. Nima, welcome.
Thank you. I want to just tell you how delighted I am. This is my favorite conversation in the world. I can't shut up about it. And working as a chiropractor for 17 years, talking about this concept of anxiety, not in just within ourselves, but then how it impacts the kids.
Yes. Too.
How our stresses, how our anxieties ripple into the lives of children, seeing it over and over, I decided I had to kind of get out of the four walls of the practice and start teaching. And this has become my first love now. And I love this conversation.
Amazing, amazing. And manxiety, I love that term. Can you tell us more about where that came from?
I got to give props to my good friend and mentor, Dr. Russell Kennedy, who's the anxiety MD, who helped mentor me during a time when I was going through a crisis, a breakup, a disconnect, a challenge, where all of the tools that I had developed to help people with anxiety, which were all cognitive based, I didn't have access to. So he taught me how to get into sense, get into felt sense, and that transformed the way that I could have intimacy with men, with women, with myself. And when I discovered that, I thought, okay, I think I found the Holy Grail, and I'm on a new path and mission to help people transform the anxiety by clearing the toxic relationships with themselves so that the toxic relationships all around them with children, with business partners, with romantic partners can heal. It's healing anxiety through healing toxicity and breakdowns in relationships, because we live our lives through our nervous system and through relationships. So yes, the nervous system and how it relates to other people and our triggers and all of that stuff, I can't talk about enough. So
okay, so you said something interesting there. The main thing that you tune into is the felt sense. Can you define that for us?
Yeah, because anxiety basically is a state of alarm that's in the body, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens is it feels so crappy that we start to get into our heads and look for signs and evidence around us to give us reasons why our bodies feel the way that they do.
Mm. So it's right? The body first.
It's a state of alarm that's in the physiology. And what happens is we get into our heads and say, oh my gosh, it's because, and then we get into catastrophic thinking. We look at our partners and go, oh, this feeling in my body is because this person left their socks on the floor, or it's because they, they haven't given me enough acknowledgement or hugs, or they've become really, they're really in a tough place in their lives and they're anxious. And so I'm feeling this feeling. And so we tend to play victim to this feeling, and we start to look for reasons, and we get into the mind and the head, and it just goes, and the way that you get out of your head is to get into the body. Mm-hmm. So it's a play on masculine and feminine. Masculine is in the brain, is in the mind, and feminine is in the body. And so men, especially men, if I can look at my father, has zero connection with the body. It's all kind of, you know, the engineer, the one, and not only in the head, but one side of the brain as well. So when one side of the brain, you know, your left brain dominant,
yes,
and you're on one side of the brain and you're only on the top part of here, you have a whole part of the organism that's completely disconnected, mm-hmm. and there's no intimacy, there's no connection. So in order to heal from anxiety, there has to be some training of getting into a felt sense, into sensation, out of the mind and into sensation, mm-hmm. through neurosensory exercises, through regulation exercises, through breath work, and through, you know, getting out of here to try to sort out why you're feeling the way you're feeling and getting into here. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the basis for the teachings are. And then once you've done that, now you're ready to help your children. now you're ready to, you know, what the problem is that a parent will see their kid having anxiety or they're having a problem, and all of a sudden they're going to be like, oh my gosh, they take him to one doctor, one specialist, fix my kid. And the parent is like missing out on a golden opportunity to go, look, the child doesn't feel safe. Not to lay blame. Mm-hmm. Child doesn't feel safe for some reason. What's your relationship like with your partner? What's your relationship like with you were going through a divorce. Oh, okay. All right. And the way that you're handling it, which is normal to be not in a great place when there's a breakdown in the fabric or the structure of your relationship, for the children to pick up on that and start to experience, you know, this state of arousal and this state of alarm in the body because they don't feel safe. The fabric of their foundation is now in jeopardy. And so we're just trying to take them to a doctor, and the doctor will label them and, give them a disorder and then give them a pill, which kind of exonerates us from any responsibility. And it's the child. It's like, okay, good. It's not because of the guilt. And there's so many stories around this that needs to be unpacked, and we can change the world simply by getting into our bodies and taking responsibility for our own parenting. And then you can actually have a huge, profound impact on families that way.
Absolutely. So, I mean, kids, you mentioned kids in a home where there's tension and stress, and it's so interesting that parents, they've done some research, parents are under the illusion that their stress is impacting their kids. And when you talk to the kids know exactly what's happening. They don't know why, but they're feeling it and they're being impacted by it.
Stacey, it's kind of like a couple things. It's like two examples that I can give you. Have you ever watched The Dog Whisperer with Cesar Millan?
I've heard of it.
Okay. So what happens is people will call Cesar and say, Cesar, my dog is completely messed up. He's anxious, he acts out, he's aggressive, he's got all of this stuff. The typical stuff where parents will bring their children, right? With these complaints, right? Cesar never trains the dog. Cesar actually trains the way of being of the owner of the dog. And simply by shifting the state of the owner to bring them to a calm, assertive state, all of a sudden the dog catches. Just look up, just go on YouTube right now and look up any dog whisperer episode. It's the same thing. The behavioral problem with the dog, Cesar comes in and shifts the behavior of the human, the owner, and the dog changes with no training of the dog.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, right? And in my chiropractic clinic, I used to see this all the time. A patient would walk in like an 8-year-old with his neck kind of twisted and he's like in a lot of pain, and the mother would be sitting there going, okay, you got to understand, my son is totally anxious, he's really scared of getting his adjustment, he's really scared, he's really anxious. And then I look over at the kid, are you nervous? He's like, yeah. And then I go, I have an idea, mom, could you just go out to the waiting room, please? Mm-hmm. Do you mind just doing me a favor? And this is from 17 years of experience. I didn't just come up with it overnight. This was after banging my head against a wall for years. Mm-hmm. And I go, mom, do you mind just stepping out for a little bit? Cool. She steps out and then I connect with the kid. How you doing? What's it like being at home there? Pretty stressful, huh? She really pressures you, huh? She's consistently, you know, and there's like, you can totally see there's this codependency where the mom is making herself responsible for, and this is a normal mom thing. I'm not giving parenting advice. That's not what I do. I'm just observing the dynamic and going, there's some responsibility here that can be taken. And so soon as I connect with the kid, I make him laugh. I get him laying down. I do his adjustment. He's totally relaxed. And then he walks out. And then the mom's like, how did it go? I'm like, he was fine. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay. Mm-hmm. There's a dynamic at play that we as human beings don't get, that who we are, how other people show up around us is almost entirely dependent on how we're showing up for ourselves. And we can complain about toxic relationships, dysfunctional families. We can lay blame on partner, on mom, on dad, on the kids. But if we're being mindful, if this conversation is about mindfulness, then it's time that people start realizing that a rising tide lifts all boats. And if we want to transform a family dynamic, I can sit here and blame my father for not having empathy and being so pushy, and my mother for just over-mothering me and just being so codependent and all that. Or I can go inside and transform myself and give myself the resources that I feel that mom and dad should be giving me, and use that opportunity to fill the cracks in the floorboard and give myself what I perceive other people need, and do the inner work within myself and take full responsibility. And what I've noticed with my clients when we do that is that other people, without them doing any of the inner work, they shift how they show up for us.
Absolutely.
Have you experienced that too?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's just like where you can have one person, one toxic person can affect so many people. One conscious person can also have a very powerful powerful effect on their environment.
I know. And men don't feel safe to share these things. And so I'm creating a possibility where men can expose the things that they've been challenged by, the relationship problem, the problems, the feeling like they're spinning their wheels and they just can't make their partners happy and they just can't win. And they have all this guilt and shame and this need for approval that they're not getting from the most important people out there. And so being a man is tough. And so that's why I really want to connect and support men. And that's why the podcast, Manxiety Show, that's why I write songs for, it's a conversation that we're not having. And I want to change that. That's my contribution.
Well, I'm so glad that you were focused in that way, because it's so needed. So needed. And you mentioned that you have a song. You write music.
Yeah. I wrote a rap song. I do rap. I always did when I was a kid, in the 90s, Belle Biv DeVoe and Boyz II Men.
I love it.
I was in the hip hop time, and I was always rapping and everything like that. So I thought, a good way to really connect with people's hearts is through edutainment. Yes. So it's educational, but then there's something that kind of you can get out of it that caters to your right brain as well. So the song I just wrote is called Be a Man.
So I want to. Okay. You're gonna share it with us, right?
Hell yeah.
Okay, let's go. Let's hear this.
All right, here we go. Just had it written. Here we go. Check it. Here we go. Real men don't feel, real men don't cry. Oh my, dry your eyes, you don't need to ask why. Wear your suit of armor, don't let them see you hurt. Drown all of your sorrows in the chasing of a skirt. Run from criticism, hide from the stress. Never own your part in the making of your mess. Downward spiral, epidemic is viral. Bury the pain inside, soon you're suicidal. Distracted in school, behaving like a tool. Your mama didn't raise you to be no fool. In need of role models and boundaries and rules, or you fuel your own demise and die trying to be cool. Be a man. Cover up, suck it up, be a man, be a man. It's a mantra no one really understands. Hide all emotions except anger, that's the plan. Prove your manhood by putting someone down, a crown for being a clown and letting them drown in a frown. Bad at relationships, cause you can't love yourself, thinking that a substance can improve your mental health. Disconnected from life, filled with regret, resentment taking over, and drowning in debt. The struggle is real. Just look at your deal. Not only you're down, but you're judging how you feel. You've never been equipped to get real. Dream of the bling, get high off the praise for the watch and the ring, thinking that makes you king. But the truth is, it don't mean a thing. Yeah, the truth is, it don't mean a thing. Be a man, suck it up, cover up. Be a man, be a man. It's a mantra no one really understands. Hide all emotions except anger, that's the plan. Waking up feeling anxious, wondering what's the matter. Is there any real effective way to end the brain chatter? A prison of the mind, praying for escape. I try to be a hero, but I hide behind a cape. Looking for an answer, done with covering it up. Hide from all the problems by filling up a cup. Smoke away the truth that life literally sucks. When you try to numb the pain, then you're pushing your luck. Never do we learn how to navigate our dharma, perceptions of trauma. Your life is full of drama. Wishful thinking is trying to bet everything on karma. Change your story, find your glory, and the stress is sayonara. Be a man. Suck it up. Cover up. Be a man. Be a man. It's a mantra no one really understands. Hide all emotions except anger. That's the plan. Peace.
Wow. Wow. So much truth. I love that beat. Amazing. Amazing.
Too much fun.
So much fun. But so real. So real. So real. I know everyone listening to this is going to, men and women alike. I mean, women are frustrated in some ways, I'm sure, in terms of trying to draw, you know, what's going on?
What's going on with the men? But men don't have access. They have this deep frustration, but it has never really been safe for them to express, because while women want here, and you know, while women would desperately crave for a man to be vulnerable and share, nobody's actually ever shown them how to do that in a safe way without some sort of shame or punishment or a perception of weakness. And so men are hurting. Men are hurting.
And it means that there needs to be a cultural shift at a fundamental level.
Well, men are killing themselves left, right, and center because of this expectation. Successful guys, too. This isn't just guys that are like just barely scraping by to get, you know, day-to-day type of people. These are successful men who behave in certain ways that they can't really control because their triggers and their resentments and their nervous systems are completely dysregulated, and they haven't really, and their only solution is, you know, going to the gym or numbing themselves with some sort of drugs and alcohol because the rage is just in their bodies and giving them anxiety and mm-hmm. just by providing a different solution of just having the conversation is a start, and then going in and healing all of those parts of you that are wounded and getting and opening that up is the answer, so that we can actually stop the cycle of abuse, of violence, of infidelity, of it all comes from a wounded inner child.
Yes. So how do parents start that process of healing that wounded inner child that they're carrying?
It's a good question, because that is the question, is that if you want to heal your family, there's a dynamic going on that didn't start with you, Stacy. So it's your parents that they went through, and they're basically passing whatever challenges through their, you know, energetic cycle and their epigenome. And, you know, we're talking generations of struggle and trauma, of inherited trauma. And it's up to people, parents themselves, to take it on, take it head on and do the inner work. And how do you do that? Well, first and foremost, I created a model. I mean, I could draw it out and show it to you right here. That's a partially what I do basically, but it's number one is to regulate your nervous system as a parent.
Okay. So what are the go-to tools that you use and advise people start?
Yeah. The first thing that you do is to the best thing that you can do for your family is to regulate your own nervous system. Period.
Yeah.
Because when I have a regulated nervous system, it doesn't matter how other people show up for me. My tone, my energetic tone has an impact on other people. Like it would be evident. I don't know if you can feel that. Like when I was doing my inner work with meditation and breath work and chiropractic and exercise and journaling and connecting to my higher self and being intentional and all of these things that we create habits and rituals so that we can connect to our higher forces. When I would do that and I'd come into the clinic, patients would walk into the office and say, "Oh my God, I feel better just being here. Just being in your presence." Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
You can do that with your kids.
Yes, absolutely.
That's why you take it on.
Mm-hmm. Just centering yourself, like before, as you're walking into the house, like how are you being walking into the house.
We're talking about presence. We're talking about mindful. We're talking about intentional. We're in our heads so much. We're not in our bodies. We're dysregulated. And then all of a sudden, the external world starts to reflect back to us what's going on inside. And we're like, oh my God, what's wrong with my boss? What's wrong with my coworkers? My clients are all messed up today. Everything changed for me when I started looking at the way that I was being treated externally, not as a victim of circumstance, but as a at cause. When clients would all, when I'd have a day when two or three clients would cancel, or I would have my partner or people treating me like crap, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, hold on. Where am I doing this to myself? Where have I been abandoning myself, my wounded inner child? Where have I been neglectful of myself? Where have I been abusive towards myself? Mm-hmm. And so I start looking at the world, like your children, the way they're treating you, the way your partner's treating you, from a stance. I know this is controversial because I know people are going to just freak out by me saying this, but I'm just giving you my experience, is that everything started transforming in my own life. Mm-hmm. When I started looking at the way that I was being treated by people around me as a reflection of how I was being towards myself.
Interesting.
So and so when I...
Responsibility.
Extreme ownership, Stacey. Extreme ownership. And that's what it's going to take. Not, here, doctor, fix my kid. It's, okay, hold on. Who am I being? What's my nervous system like? That's the first step, is regulating the nervous system. How do we do it? Well, I have a process that I teach. I mean, there's, you got it. When you get this right, it doesn't matter how others are behaving towards you. You're grounded and resourced. It's like a grounding. Like there's a pole that's grounding, and then lightning can hit it, but then the earth just kind of diffuses it. That's what you become when you get it right. But if you don't get that part right, you're wired. You're using your addictions to numb yourself, and you're constantly anxious. And then that's rippling to the children. That's rippling to your dog. I mean, if I come to your home and I just watch your dog's behavior, it gives me a very good window of what's happening inside of you.
Right. So, you know, I mean, it sounds like the first step, the very first step, is that awareness, just awareness.
Could you do any other steps without that one first? Exactly.
Just checking in, like, where do I notice tension in my body?
Watch this.
Yeah.
How have you been breathing?
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, if you're like most people listening, like you listening right now, have you been conscious of your breath? Your breath is the link between the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. You don't have to think of breathing because it happens automatically. But the way that you breathe is telling me what's going on in your mind. Are you shallow?
Yes.
Shallow with breathing? Are you holding your breath? Do you have a deep inhalation? An inspiration means receiving from the universe. Exhalation is giving, and there has got to be a nice balance between the two. But if you're not inhaling properly, you're not in receiving, you're in lack and limitation, and you're in scarcity, and then that'll show up. And it's interesting how the way that I breathe shows up in everything. So my first step when relearning these was to start getting conscious of my breath. And the second I become conscious of my breath, and then I start to balance the inhalation and exhalation with a conscious connected wave, all of a sudden now my unconscious becomes conscious. I have now participated in lowering the sympathetic tone of my nervous system.
Yes, absolutely.
And it was all unconscious until I went, oh, am I breathing? And so what I do now, I check in regularly, how am I breathing?
And do you have a regular practice as
I
well?
Do now, yeah. Breath work, yeah.
Okay.
I put on a timer. It's important to do timing because when I do breath work, it slows the brain waves down, and then you can just kind of start going in different places. You can go experience old traumas and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I do like a 20-minute timer, and I put like a relaxing playlist on my phone. And then I connect to breath, and then I go into visualization, and then I come out and I'm like, wow, my nervous system is regulated. Mm-hmm. I can see clients. I can be in a relationship. Toxic relationship starts with a toxic relationship with your nervous system.
Okay.
So, and these are two, and rather than labeling people toxic, it's important to just call it like it is two people who are dysregulated. two kind souls who are dysregulated in the nervous system. And when I am dysregulated in fight or flight or freeze, I have a separation from you. I see you as an enemy. I distrust. I have old wounds come out and my aggression comes out and I snap into my dark passenger. My shadow takes over. And then if you see me in that light, you can then label me that way, but that's not who I am. It's in that moment freeze framed in time because my nervous system was dysregulated. But you take that same toxic person and then you put them through a nervous system regulation program, and all of a sudden they're kind, loving souls who want to do great in this world.
So yes, like that shows up.
Right. And so rather than labeling people and pointing fingers, if we go inside and we learn the art of reparenting our wounded inner child and regulating our nervous system and completing our past resentments and regrets from mom and dad and dealing with the shame and the shadow and all of that stuff, when we put all of those together and you get that right, you become more present in your body. You become more understanding of your, not only yourself, but that other that you've been resenting, whether it be a parent, whether it be your partner or spouse, or whether it be your child who's mirroring all the crap you haven't yet loved about you yet. And then when you get that right, about when you get all three of those right, you now have a sense of fulfillment and authenticity. You're present, you're understanding. And that's where love starts to emerge from a toxic situation in a family dynamic. But it can't happen if you're pointing fingers, labeling, blaming. It happens with the person who decides that they want to be the one at cause.
Yes. Okay. So as a parent in a relationship, let's say you're married or you have a partner and you co-parent, bringing your own self into presence, practice with the breath, noticing the breath.
Right.
And then this other person, they're not there. They are in some other space.
Right.
Their nervous system's up here. They're
right.
Totally reactive.
Mm-hmm.
You're calm. How does that person who's grounded in presence engage with that person who is not quite present? They're in a different headspace and they're coming at them with a lot of negativity. That's triggering.
It's happened to me before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I've tested this. And I didn't think it was possible, Stacey, because what happens is, let's say the dynamic is between you and I. Okay, let's get real. You and I, you all of a sudden get triggered and you start coming at me. And it's clearly whatever the past.
Okay, I'll do it. I'm just like, Neva, come on. You know what? Like, I don't have time for this. You're really getting on my nerve.
And it gets way worse than that. That ain't, but that's a bad example because it gets way worse than that. Okay, so let me tell you. Let's say you start throwing stuff at me.
Oh boy, okay.
Let's say you start throwing things at me, right? And obviously, number one priority, just become safe. So if your physical body is not safe, then get your butt to a safe place. But but by then you've allowed it to escalate. Mm-hmm. But let's say you want to be at cause and not allow it to escalate, and then you see the reactivity in that other person, but you've taken the time to self-regulate. The key is that if I take that time to parent my wounded child that's being activated by your reaction,
mm-hmm.
and I can resource myself through a series of specific techniques, then what happens is I see my own innocence there. And it's kind of like the oxygen mask coming down and you putting it on yourself first before you put it on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
If I take the time, Stacey, and as you're yelling and screaming at me and I get those old wounds of rejection coming up, mm-hmm. and then I take the moment to parent those and go, no, I got you. I'm here with you.
Okay.
You're not alone. Don't worry. And I've taken the time to parent myself and go and self-govern, self-regulate and resource myself.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, when I look over at you and I see you in rage, I then see your innocence as well.
Right. So you're able to see that person is hurting.
I have to, the only way is to stop playing victim to you when you're in that mm-hmm. space and see through your ego mm-hmm. and see the innocence behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, I see you as a monster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the victim to you.
Right.
And I have zero power to transform it. Now, please understand, there are cases where it's gone too far. We're talking substance abuse, both parties have been drinking, you don't have your senses. This doesn't apply to those people. You need to separate, maybe an imprisonment and jail. And like you have, those people have lost their ability to self-regulate. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about people who have gone past that and who genuinely want to be at cause for transformation and not play the Jerry Springer kind of victim type of thing and really step up into taking ownership and really being the cause of the transformation. And they feel relatively safe in that moment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we can't paint everyone with one brush. Some people, they got to go and they got to get out of there for their own safety because it's gone too far. And the ego has gotten so dense and the shame, the toxic shame is so high and there's too much of a cost to the person coming out, to the family coming out and saying, hey, this is what's going on with us.
Right. So, you know, just getting back to the breath and the self-regulation, because my understanding of what the physiology of men versus women when it comes to emotions, that women physiologically have much higher tolerance for emotion. And that men, when emotion is in the room, tend to have, like, their nervous systems, like, through the charts. Like, they may look really stoic, they may look totally in control, but if you break them up on all your measures, their physiology is, like, hitting.
Well, you're talking about emotional intelligence, right?
Yes.
And from a young age on, boys are not encouraged to connect and label and like, no, oh, that feeling, ooh, that's guilt. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's shame. Oh, that's a feel. Ooh, that feels like rejection. Ooh, that feels like betrayal. So we're not able to take these ickiness that comes up mm-hmm. and assign a label to it so that we're able to separate ourselves from it. Mm-hmm. So what happens is when the feelings come up, we don't have, men aren't taught the skill level of being able to identify and label and go into felt sense. And go, oh, so that's what's, and go into an inquiry. That's why I created the overview method, which is a self-inquiry tool that you can sit down and go, okay, so what is it that I'm feeling? Okay, so where does it come from? Because the inquiry itself is conscious awareness, is the separation from ego to soul, just with the inquiry. But men, when we get that feeling, not just men, but human beings, when we get that feeling, we're not able to separate ourselves from it. We become the feeling and it's so uncomfortable. We don't have tools in how to manage it. So the only way is chasing skirts to get the approval, numbing ourselves with all sorts of fun, crazy stuff and killing ourselves. These are our options.
Yeah.
These are our options. Yeah. And then here's the best part. And then because we don't have all that, we misbehave and then we feel ashamed. And then there's shame, which then makes the spiral even worse. And then the shame causes me to not want to talk about it. Right. And then shame just thrives in the dark. Mm-hmm. So this is an epidemic.
It is. I completely agree.
This is an epidemic, and the only way is for someone to have the courage to stand up and go, I've been abusive. I have been violent. I have used addictions to numb myself. I get narcissistic at times. Mm-hmm. I become selfish and do whatever it takes to get my needs met. I've been dishonest with women. Mm-hmm. I stand up and go, This is not who I am. This is my behavior because of all of these things. Yes. And so if we can have that conversation and then really start, and because of all these things are the wounded inner child, the shadow that you haven't yet learned how to dance and manage with, mm-hmm. a blockage of your creativity that you haven't really, explored because you haven't really learned how to open up and be vulnerable and share because you haven't felt safe to do so.
Right. So I'm assuming that through your podcast and the events that you do, that you create that environment and, a couple rest songs in there, it gets people thinking and grooving and kind of like,
truthfully, okay, I'm talking about this. Truthfully, I just create events so that I can have an excuse to rap. I was like, look, my boy band dreams were finished. I might as well create another backdoor entrance so that I can get people filled up in a room so I can go, yo, what's going on? Throw your hands in the air.
Selfish. What I love about that, Dr. Deepa, is that you're bringing your whole self to this, right? And when you step up in that way of being like, I'm just throwing off like the suit and tie. I'm real. I'm human. And I've studied this and I'm bringing it to you because you need to get on board.
And I have failed with it.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, I basically grew up with the Persian dream. The Beamer, the trophy wife, the penthouse, the $1 million chiropractic practice. I did all of those things because I thought I should. And then at the age of 35, I'm like, I'm miserable. So what do? I blow it all up. I go through a divorce. I leave my wife. I go womanizing like crazy, looking for all that attention externally because it's all about ego. And so, listen, I don't love myself, but if I can get five women to be hooked on me, then maybe at that time, I can probably then validate my existence of being a good person, of being worthy. And I did, and I end up hurting all these people, and it didn't work because I still feel unworthy. Okay, so maybe if I don't love chiropractic. Maybe if I leave my chiropractic profession and then go and teach people how to transform why they got sick in the first place, and then I have a bigger stage, maybe then, if I make this much money and help this many people, maybe then I'm going to finally love myself. Mm-hmm. And so I get involved in a relationship with somebody who has a background and another business that is not in congruency with, my family, my values, religion. And I deliberately play the black sheep role and say, you know what? This person is amazing at what they do and can help me build my platform and wouldn't be somebody that I would, pick out of a lineup and say, I'd like to marry her, but I'm going to have an incongruent relationship with her, helping all these people around the world with their relationship challenges and live completely incongruently, this operational paradox of the mechanic with the car that doesn't work. I was helping couples in relationships with a relationship that wasn't fully congruently honest, but because the business was booming and growing and it was feeding the ego, the part of me that wanted that attention and the fame and the success, and it was working. And, I left my chiropractic full-time practice to be able to do that. I didn't deal with the toxic shame of it and ended up creating an abusive dynamic between the two of us. And I became this narcissistic, abusive asshole until everything just kind of blew up. And it made me then go into this space of, all right, these tools that I have that are amazing, I don't have access to this healing, this problem, this anxiety. What do I do? It led me into this journey through the dark night of my soul, which then I got through breath work, through nervous system regulation. I realized that I was doing it all with a dysregulated nervous system. I had this amazing tool, but I had some cracks in the floorboard, which was intimacy with self, wounded inner child, from a felt sense, physiological. I would cognitively do the work, do the inner work. But I still was holding on to separation trauma in my body. And it wasn't until I accessed breath work and embodiment and attunement and moment-to-moment conscious awareness, as you were saying, where I really got the essence of healing my anxiety from a felt sense perspective rather than working through it in my mind, because I'm a genius at being able to solve problems in my mind, but I had no access to my body. And that's where I learned vulnerability, intimacy. And I just realized that almost 100% of men need this training that I went through, but don't have access to it. So I pieced it all together and created something, built something so that it could help people who are struggling in toxic relationships, who are power couples, who are like really, really like dialed in, who have families, who have a lot at stake, but they're stuck in this trap of abuse. This cycle that they can't get out of because of the shame, because of the toxic shame of bringing it out and making it public in this very, very hostile Me Too environment for men. Mm-hmm. It's very hot. Like, men are scared shitless of the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
They're scared, like which is great. It's brought to light all of the things that were silenced, which is great. And the pendulum has now swung so far that men are like afraid to say anything or do anything, and they're scared to death because they don't, you know, like they don't want to just. It's people have become so trigger happy with it. So what? Why? So what happens? The shame, the silence. And so I had to go through all of that. And now I'm standing for transformation of families through toxic relationships, having been through one myself. Yes. And having a very, very deep conviction that it can be transformed if a person is willing to go inside and look and just tell the truth in a safe place of non-judgment. So that's what I provide.
That's the foundation of it all. Foundation of it all. Okay. And so, you know, you have your own story and you know, cultural values, the values of your microculture, your family, and as a male growing up, you know, learn to disavow parts of the self. And so I'm wondering about, in addition to the inner work that you were embracing parents to do, particularly the dads out there, how... because there's so many unconscious processes that happen in terms of how we engage with our sons. And so what would be those steps that you would say, you know, stop, don't be doing this? Like, you know, and it almost seems as if, I have to look at the data about this, but as soon as the kid starts to get around like 7, 8, it seems to be that messaging of like, grow up, like toughen up.
Be a man, be a man.
Right, like don't cry, like, and ignore the body, like literally ignore physical hurt.
Yeah.
Don't show the emotion.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing you can do, and I'm very, very, very careful to say, I don't give parenting advice. I feel that 17 years as a chiropractor and a coach, helping people with stress-related problems, seeing the inner workings of the mind-body connection in real time, in real life, and being able to help transform people through health problems using both of the modalities. From a behavioral standpoint, the greatest thing that you can give that child is empathy.
Yes.
The greatest thing, because if you can recreate the child's feelings at the same level and wavelength that they are experiencing it, it literally can make it disappear. The problem is that parents, I can tell you right now, my parents, and I love them and they're very loving people. They come from an old school mentality that this is behavior is acceptable and this isn't. And if you don't behave in this way, then you're not lovable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the messaging. Yeah. It's a behavioral result approach, is that unless you behave to a certain level, mm-hmm. then you're not worthy of love. This is the messaging that unconsciously comes through.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the greatest gift that you can give the child is when something happens, instead of projecting your shame and your guilt, to go inward and see what's this bringing up for you. What failures are coming up for you, and own them rather than trying to deflect and blame and say it's you,
right.
Which is really like ego.
Yes.
Which is very ego, which is your ego trying to block the pain of taking any responsibility, mm-hmm. to go in and get into the world and the values of that kid. And instead of projecting your values and saying you should, this is the way we were raised and this is what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And you should fit into this box in this category and realize that the kids are here to display all of the parts of you that you've been rejecting and avoiding. They're here to teach you just as much as you're here to teach them. So by definition, everything you're completely dedicated to in a very polarized way, mm-hmm. your kids are going to be exact opposites. If you're a hardcore Republican and you're just like card carrying, like, you know, Bible thumping Republican, guess what? Your child is going to be a bisexual libertarian. bisexual liberal who's like, you know, save the whales type of deal. And it's going to be complete opposite because they're here to kind of temper you and balance you out, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can just stop projecting what you want and get into their world and go and use the words, you know, it must feel like blank.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It must feel like, I wonder what you're feeling like. And and get into curiosity rather than projection, because that kid wants to be loved and appreciated for who they are. And that will have much more of a healing power than for you to label them and just not look at yourself because of the shame and the pain that it would take to take any form of responsibility for the dynamic being as it is.
Right. And so parent number one, being able to come out of reactive state, calm. Number two.
That's the first step.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, kids, I'll tell you my experience, kids are afraid to come and be real to the parents because of, oh my God, there's going to be a massive reaction. Like, and no, and don't give the excuse of, this is how I react. It's always been this way. I can't change that. That's the fixed mindset. That's my father. That's my father's engineer, 70-year-old engineer, kind of black and white type of thinking. This is how it is. I can't change. No, it can. You can change it if you decide and you're committed to taking it on and taking responsibility and doing the inner work. Take freaking responsibility rather than just going, you know what? I can't change. Who I am. So your reactivity blocks your intimacy with the child.
Yes. So number one, reactivity, manage that. Number two, sounds like look within, just like, okay, what is this bringing up for me?
What is it? And be honest. And how do you know? How do you know it's you're hitting it? The more pain, like it's got to hurt. The truth will set you free, but first it will burn a hole through your soul. The truth of it is too painful to look at. I think it was Jordan Peterson who says that we something to the effect of where we need to look towards that which we're most afraid to, like,
yes,
where what you're supposed to look at. It's so painful to look at that you want to, you've been avoiding and deflecting, and that's ego. It's trying to protect its identity. Nice. And how do you know when you're looking within, it's got to hurt to take that responsibility, but that's the healing. That's what healing comes. It's a refinement that happens. It's a burning. It's a burning away. Like, let it burn through you to take responsibility. That's where healing happens.
Right. So it could be, you know, parents recognizing their own failing at doing something.
Not so much a failing, because then you're not seeing your innocence in the behavior, because nobody is trying to do anything. Everyone's doing to get their own needs met.
Right. Things happen sometimes, right? Like, we feel that feeling of guilt, like that, oh, you know, this happened because I didn't show up or didn't do this thing. And we can numb ourselves to that.
Feel the guilt.
Yeah. So we need
there is no transformation without guilt.
Right. So we have to be able to stay in that place and do the work to heal whatever perfectionism or whatever it is that is not allowing us to make mistakes. And then maybe then we can have space to receive your child.
As soon as you're able to mirror what another human being is feeling, that in itself disappears most of the problem.
Yes.
It makes it disappear. There's no therapy that's needed. It's just a, oh my God, I feel gotten. And every human being, every child has this deep desire to be seen and heard and loved for who they are. But when we are blocking and defending our ego, that blocks the intimacy of being able to see and hear and love the child exactly for who they are, because we're so busy guarding our guilts because it's too painful. And we say the other person needs to do the work. I don't need to do it. You go fix yourself. I'm fine. You're the one with the problem. That's a sign. When you see yourself or hear yourself saying that, that's a sign that you're literally isolating those closest to you.
Pushing them away.
You're pushing them away. The people who are closest to you, who want desperately to be seen and heard and loved by you, but seen by you. Mm-hmm. It takes effort to get out of your own kind of way.
Yes.
It takes effort to get out of your point of view. It takes awareness. It takes maturity to get out of your point of view and to see things from a child's point of view.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're your 28-year-old who's done some crazy shit, really look and see and get why the behavior is the way they are. And when you get them, all of a sudden, there's a magical explosion of intimacy that happens and healing just from that act alone. I've watched it. I've witnessed complete transformations in family without years of therapy, simply by getting empathy, like resonant empathy, resonant listening, resonant, like, a true getting of an individual that we've been blocking ourselves from because we don't even want to look at our own shadow.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And so there's a lot of self-compassion also built in there. That healing has to come from that love for whatever it is we label as our faults or our misgivings or whatever it is, our imperfections, that we're just deciding to love that.
But here's why this is so important. Mm-hmm. Because I'm convinced mm-hmm. that many health problems, you take a family dynamic of five people, two of them have health issues. One is digestive, one is hormonal, one's got cancer. I guarantee you that these dynamics at play energetically have something to do with the health of the family, of the physical health of the family. And so working for 17 years as a chiropractor, I saw it again and again and again. And it was, I was pulling my hair out going, I gotta go deeper with this. I want to go deeper. I don't need volume. I just need to go depth with my clients to get them to unpack all of this. And if each person takes responsibility for loving that wounded inner child within themselves and seeing their relationships as a spiritual practice to heal all of the transferences from their past and everything that they see in another person that's really triggering them in your kid, looking at it as a projection of something within you that you haven't yet gotten complete about, you now look that that's what the inner work is, that's what completion is like, and you can be at cause for the transformation, not only of your own health, but everyone around you by taking it on for yourself rather than being codependent and trying to get that approval externally and go, why can't this person love me? Why don't I get the acknowledgement from this person? Why isn't that person, finally, I just want you to just acknowledge me. Well, have you really taken the time to acknowledge yourself? No.
Yeah, so that's where the real resiliency lies.
It's all self. It starts with the self. Oh, you have problems with the kids, with school and all that? Great. Can you help my, I get this a lot. Can you help my son? He's got anxiety. And I go, does your son want to work with me? Mm-hmm. Like, no. I'm like, okay, this is your issue. Let's right. work. Let's do this. And they're like, no, it's my son. It's not me. I'm like, all right.
Right. Dr. Nima, you know, this has been so great talking to you. And I'm so encouraged, inspired to know that you are having this conversation with lots of people, but particularly the men. We need men to get on board here. And I love the rap song. I love it. And be a man, it sounds like the real definition that you're talking about is taking that ownership, that responsibility, and going into those places that are painful and learning to do what society didn't give you, which is that love and acceptance.
Right. And it's never going to give you. And if you're looking for society, you're looking for the amount of money to finally make it happen, or the women, or the affair, or that shiny new object to give it to you, it will never, ever, ever, ever be enough.
Yes.
That's why you keep making more money. You keep getting more success, getting more fame, getting more whatever, acknowledgement. And it just becomes this bottomless pit. And that's what happened to me.
Okay.
Until I was like, all right, pause. Let's just take a moment, breathe, and then go inside.
Yes.
And I wrote a song about that, the breath too. And so that'll be for the next episode.
Well, you know what, Dr. Nima, how can people get in touch and find out all about your events? Your podcast?
Sure. Yeah, my website is drnima.com. It's the podcast is called Mangxiety, the Mangxiety Show.
Okay. And,
and I, in the comment section, you can put in, I have a training for toxic relationship rescue. It's a webinar for toxic relationship. It's a rescue. Like, this is what you do. This is the model. This is the plan. This is how you do it. I lay it all out. For people, if they want to do that themselves, or if they want help with it, they have options. So
Amazing.
I give them the keys to the kingdom so that they can do it. So it's all on my website, the training and healing a toxic relationship. And it's not just with romantic, toxic relationship with your child, toxic relationship with your business partner. It's all in relationship. We live our lives through our nervous system and we experience life through relationships. The two most important things.
Yes.
And it's through my failures in those two things and my training as 17 years as a chiropractor and my interest in helping heal and transform individuals and families that I basically took my training of my, you know, my career training plus my challenges that I've gone through and implemented and applied and created my own model and path to victory for those types of people. Because I had to do it for myself.
Dr. Nima, we're going to have to end this interview, but I want to ask you that final question. One tool, one technique that parents can use right now to start the transformation within themselves and their families.
Yes, parenting advice. Here's what it's called. It's called parenting advice from someone who has no business giving parenting advice. Here it is.
Okay.
Take every trigger that bothers the crap out of you, write down what it is, and go inward and look within and see how that's a projection, how you do it, where you display that trait, and own the projection and use those external triggers, everything you see on the outside that pisses you off, as a window inside there's a wounded part of you that you haven't yet completed. And that it, when you get it right, you now have mastery over your emotions. You have self-regulation. You have ability to empathize with other people and you can be at cause for the transformation of a family, which is the bedrock of society.
Yes. Okay.
And the reason why society gets so messed up is because we as families are so broken and we as families are so broken is because we have, as individuals, haven't taken the responsibility to look inward at all of our triggers that we're putting the finger on, blaming Trump or blaming our father or blaming our mother or blaming our boss or our children and going in and taking ownership and reparenting that wounded child so that we can show up with a regulated nervous system and transform ourselves, the family, society, and the world.
Amazing. Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Nima. I can't wait.
Simple, right?
But it starts with those questions. It starts with the right questions. And that's a great question for all of us to be asking ourselves. Thank you again so much.
Thank you for the opportunity for me to share this very critical conversation.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure myself and others are looking forward to hearing more from you. Take care. Bye.